This morning, US Vice President Mike Pence says he has a deal with Turkey's president for a five-day ceasefire in northern Syria. Mike Pence is in Ankara with the US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo for talks with Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Turkey has agreed to pause all operations for 5 days to allow the withdrawal of Kurdish forces in the disputed area. In return, the US has agreed to halt planned economic sanctions against Turkey. The rapidly moving events began last week when the US president made the surprise announcement that he was withdrawing US troops who had been supporting the Syrian Kurdish forces fighting ISIS. Within days of the announcement, Turkish forces entered northern Syria in an offensive against the Kurdish forces it says was to build a buffer zone of around 30 kilometres on its border. Exposed by the departure of their US allies, the Kurdish forces then turned to the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad for military protection. President Trump's actions have been heavily criticised by the US Congress, which yesterday voted overwhelmingly in opposition to the sudden withdrawal of the US troops. Critics warned of the risks of a resurgent ISIS and a strengthening of Russia's hand in the region. Well, we cross to Turkey now and welcome back Borzu Deragahi, international correspondent for The Independent, covering the Middle East, Europe and North Africa. Thank you again for your time, Borzu.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, much has happened in just over a week since President Erdogan launched the military offensive in Syria. We now have this temporary ceasefire. What is your assessment of the way this has happened?
Well, I think first, the most important thing to consider is that this is all about domestic U.S. politics, because that's all Trump cares about. The initial call to accede to Turkish demands and withdraw troops from Syria was about November 2020 elections in the U.S. And the response afterwards, when there was a big outcry to threaten to sanction Turkey and to, you know, send a high-level delegation to Turkey to try to stop this offensive that it itself had, the Trump administration itself had unleashed, is all about domestic politics and November 2020. It's just trying to feed different conservative constituencies in the U.S., in the face of a resurgent Democratic Party and a very narrow conservative coalition that Trump has assembled. So, you know, he doesn't really care about what's happening in Turkey or in Syria. It's not really, he doesn't really care about those details. He's just thinking about how this is playing for him domestically, politically. And I think that is where the problems come in, because, you know, this region, the Middle East, is a tinderbox. And, you know, you just can't go around making, you know, decisions. One day Erdogan is a bad guy, a guy to threaten, tough guy whose economy he's going to destroy. And then today, you know, Erdogan is great. He's beautiful. He's fantastic. It's just this sort of 180 degree turns that are, you know, kind of characteristic of the Trump administration, bull in a China shop approach to the Middle East.
I want to spend quite a bit of time on the domestic US politics, because it does seem to be driving a lot of the to-ing and fro-ing. But could we please concentrate on what is actually happening as a result of these decisions? Before the ceasefire, what had we seen over the days of the operation already, particularly civilians? Where are they going at the moment?
Well, a trickle were heading to Iraq. Some are just moving from towns that were along the Turkish border where there was fighting further inland. You know, and these are people who've been moving from town to town, village to village for 8 years now. And, you know, each time they move, it's a loss in the quality of their life, a loss in the control they have over their life. Perhaps it, you know, puts frail relatives in danger. So it's not such a simple thing to just pick up and move every last thing you own and go to another village as the fighting comes near your town and so on. There weren't, you know, an extraordinary number of civilian casualties, not like the civilian casualties that are created in other parts of Syria. But there were some civilian casualties, significant numbers, a lot of displacement, a lot of worry, a lot of stress, and a destabilization of a part of Syria that has been relatively stable for the past few years. And by many accounts, a rather unnecessary one. This part of Syria, although it is run by a militia that is hostile to Turkey, it wasn't like constantly lobbing missiles at Turkey. There was no imminent threat. So to many, Turkey's decision to intervene was a war of choice, and a kind of dangerous war of choice, one that many thought hadn't been thought through all the way. And it, you know, kind of put the Trump administration in a position where many perceived that it was giving a green light to the slaughter of Kurds in northern Syria, whether that was true or not.
5 days is the agreement on a ceasefire. Then what?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think that the Turks are trying to give Trump a little bit of breathing space so that he can stave off sanctions against Erdogan and the Turkish government. I don't know why. I was just talking to someone about this. I'm not sure why Trump is so dead set on protecting Turkey. It's an interesting question to contemplate. I think that there's a certain solidarity between the two men. They see each other as kind of like-minded spirits. Trump has a Trump Tower in Istanbul. He likes Turkey. He's on record saying that he likes this country. He likes the business savvy of the country and so on. So it's curious as to why he's so determined to uphold Erdogan's interests and Turkey's interests. But, you know, he is, and that is what he's doing. What is going to happen at the end of that 120 days is also interesting in light of 120 hours, in light of the SDF, the Kurdish militia. Have they agreed to be evacuated from these areas that Turkey covets? And what about the Russians? Have the Russians signed on to this deal? It doesn't appear so at this point.
Let's stay with what has changed in the few days it is since the president made this decision to immediately withdraw the comparatively small number of troops, but significant number of troops that had been allied to the Kurdish forces. Since the departure of the US and since the actions of the Turkish president in sending forces in, what has happened with the reaching out to the Syrian president and to Russia? What's changed in who is aligning themselves with whom?
Well, the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurdish-led armed force that controls this part of Syria, went to Russia, and Russia brokered a deal with the Syrian regime in which Syrian regime troops would be deployed, at least symbolically, to the frontiers with Turkey. And that was supposed to stop Turkey from advancing on those positions, because if they're just a bunch of guys in you know, cruddy uniforms that say that they're Syrian Arab Army, they are the Syrian Arab Army and they're protected by Russia. And so, you know, the Turks wouldn't be able to attack them without risking a confrontation with Russia. That was the idea. And so, you know, that was the what happened. And how it played out in Washington was like, see, Trump, you're giving the Russians more influence. And this turned people against Trump in Washington.
This is interesting because one wonders how much it seems extraordinary that the Vice President of the United States and its Secretary of State fly to Ankara to tell someone, we're about to impose sanctions on you, but hey, if you do this, we won't. It seems there's a sense of urgency around that comes close to panic. And what effect do we think the vote yesterday had, including many Republicans opposing this move? The talk has been of this is going to allow ISIS to regroup. The talk that this is strengthening Russia's ambitions for some kind of a strategic foothold in the Middle East. Do we think this is what has prompted this sudden move?
Yeah, I don't think that anything on the ground in Syria prompted this move. I think it was purely the vote in Congress to censor the Trump administration's move that included a lot of Republicans in the House of Representatives voted for this. A lot of the senators are criticizing him for this move. And he's trying to basically cover this up to, you know, it's typical of the Trump administration on many things. light a fire, create a panic, create a crisis, partially put it out, and then say, here I am, the hero who solved the crisis. So this is exactly what he's been doing for nearly 3 years now. And, you know, this is a perfect example of that, actually. And, you know, he's basically, I'm sure that the conversation for 4 hours today between Pence and Erdogan, Pompeo included, Turkish foreign minister also included, was, you know, about how do we figure out a way to, you know, get you your objectives without hurting us in Washington. Because if we're hurt in Washington, you're going to hurt here. I'm certain that this was the tone of the conversation. Help us protect you from these sanctions that are coming. We don't want these sanctions coming against you. And that, again, that's a very interesting question, why they're so concerned about sanctions on Turkey. We don't want these sanctions against you. So help us come up with a formula that will stave off these sanctions.
Is the president of the United States going to be able to argue down the track that everyone got what they wanted? He's got the US out of a war that he didn't want it to be in. Turkey has got the buffer zone that it wanted to have. Clearly, the Kurdish forces that were, until 2 weeks ago, allies of the United States, haven't got what they wanted. But is he going to be able to spin that, or is it not going to be that simple?
I'm sure he'll try to spin it, but let's see what happens in the next 5 days. You know, will the SDF agree to this deal? Will Russia agree to this deal? I mean, we still don't have information to that effect, and I've been pinging the SDF all evening, you know, sort of trying to get their response. I think they're still discussing. They're saying, what just happened here? What is this deal? And so I think there's still a lot of questions there, and I'm sure no matter what happens, knowing Trump, the world sees it. I mean, you see for yourself, you know, there's no need to say a lot. There's no need to embellish. Just take a look at that unhinged letter he wrote. You know, and you can just see you for yourself what we Americans have been dealing with for 3 years.
Do we know how that letter was received by President Erdogan? And for listeners not familiar with it, it was about 5 or 6 paragraphs. The White House released it, we understand, to say, look, he was sending warnings to President Erdogan that when the troops left, not to go in excessively, and it had things like, don't be a fool. Don't be a tough guy, followed by, I will call you later. Do we know how that was received?
Well, I mean, according to Turkish press accounts, Erdogan was enraged by the letter, and he crumpled it up, apparently, and threw it in the rubbish bin. That's what the Turkish press accounts say. But not because of the informal tough guy, good fellas, you know, rhetoric of the letter, more because in that letter, he suggested that Erdogan, the president of a G20 country, sit down with the head of this Syrian Kurdish militia and work out a deal. I'm sure you're going to make a great deal. And that idea, that suggestion that Turkey, the head of state of Turkey, would sit down with the leader of what it deems and has long deemed a terrorist organization was just so insulting to the Turkish government that he threw it out without telling anyone that he received the letter. Because once that letter became public, very interesting in Turkey, even opposition people were saying, see how weak Erdogan has made our country that the president of the United States talks to him in this way. See how humiliated he makes us. So this letter was received very, very poorly in Turkey by all factions.
Do we anticipate a White House visit? What else was agreed in this morning's conversations, do we know?
We don't know that. I don't know if the White House visit is still scheduled, I think next month. Still scheduled for Erdogan to travel to the White House. It's not been removed yet.
What is his strategy from now? What does he want?
Erdogan?
Yeah.
I think that the strategy is very clear. A short, cheap war to destroy the Kurdish self-rule experiment in northeast Turkey. I've written about this. It's not about some kind of 19th century war of imperial conquest. It's more like a Putin-esque attempt to destroy a country on its border, like Georgia or Ukraine, by seizing a small piece of it and making that entity unsustainable and dysfunctional. So I think it's more this kind of small, dirty war to get a piece of territory and use it to ruin your little project.
As you've reminded us, this sits in the context of an 8-year unrelenting civil war in Syria that has killed or displaced millions of people. But is there any way what's just happened here does strengthen the arm of the Syrian president or his strategic positioning in northern Syria? Does it change that at all?
I think that's a good question. I think in theory it does, but the reality is that, you know, you saw these truckloads of Syrian army folks moving into northern Syria, and they were these, you know, bedraggled guys in mismatched uniforms on semi-trailers, on lorries, on the back of lorries holding, you know, rusty Kalashnikovs. So maybe it strengthens it theoretically, but in reality, you know, the Syrian state is, you know, completely depleted, and the Syrian Arab army is a joke. And if Turkey wanted, and if Putin decided let Turkey have it, Turkey could destroy this entity in a second.
Thank you again, Burzo Deragahi, international correspondent for The Independent, covering the Middle East, Europe and North Africa, speaking to us from Ankara.